You're listening to the hot new Q. QLJNRadio.com. Still the hottest, coolest radio station on the net. With award-winning talk show personalities and DJs. The Q.
It's Monday night, and we thank you for tuning in to Final Authority on KLJN1077.com. On this program, the host will share scriptures in their proper contextual meaning. He teaches with passion and a genuine desire to feed God's people the biblical truth. Because, after all, the Bible is our final authority. If you have a question or comment for the host during the show, please call 914-205-5481 and be sure to press 1 to be live on the air. And now, without further ado, here is your host, the ambassador of fitness and witness, Pastor Everett Robinson.
Well, thank God we are live again on the Final Authority. All right, well, you have tuned in to QLJNRadio.com. This is your host of the Final Authority, pastor and teacher Everett Robinson, known as Ambassador. And boy, do we got another hot topic for you. So we're going to go ahead and say a word of prayer real quickly. And for those who are tuning in for the first time, I want to welcome you and thank you for tuning in to the Final Authority. Okay, we'll have a word of prayer, and I'll share more information with you after prayer. Well, Lord Jesus, we believe in our heart that you are indeed the Christ, the Son of the living God. We embrace you, as it were, as our Lord, Savior, and Redeemer, for you are the one who willingly laid your life down on the rugged cross and was lifted up on that cross and had all our sins placed on you. And instead of us, you were judged in our place for us. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for having satisfied the demands of divine justice, died for our sins, and shed all your blood through your body for the forgiveness of our sins and to redeem us to the Father. You were buried in a tomb on the third day. You literally rose again from among the dead, and having given demonstrable evidences of your resurrection, that you have conquered death, hell, and the grave, and you are alive forevermore. You have ascended up into the heavens, highly exalted, glorified, and now seated at the right hand of the Father. We thank you, Lord. We bless you and we honor you. Holy Spirit of God, we acknowledge you as the Spirit of truth. We welcome you, your ministry, your gifts, your power, your wisdom, and your guidance, for we are in ever need of you, Holy Spirit. Pray that Christ is exalted and glorified. And Holy Father, it is in the name of our beloved Son, Jesus the Christ, that we pray. We come before you, Father, washed in the blood of the Lamb, redeemed by the blood of Christ, filled with your Spirit, Father, faith in our heart, faith that rests upon the authority and revelation of your word to us. And we thank you, Father, for being God unto us, our Father, source, provider, and giver of life. You are the almighty living true God. We thank you, Father God, for the word. We ask, oh God, your word would abound and increase and multiply, and that you would anoint the ears of those who have tuned into the program, that they would hear what you are saying to them through the ministry of the word and by your Spirit. We thank you. We praise you and give you glory. In the holy, majestic name of thy Son, Jesus the Christ, we pray, so be it, and amen. All right. So, if you have a question or a comment, or maybe you want to express a different view than me, that's fine. Here's the number to call in. It's area code 914-205-5481. 914-205-5481. After you are dialed in and are connected, then immediately press the number 1 on your phone. And that will connect you to my producer. My producer will connect you to my line, and I will welcome you to the Final Authority to ask your question, make your comment, or express a different view. Okay, now, so today we're going to deal with the question. It's a crucial question, a thought-provoking question, and that is, what will happen to you when you die? What will happen to you after you die? After you die. All right, that would lead to the question. Oh, pardon me, my other phone was going off, that will lead to the question dealing with life after death. Well, see, the thing is about that question, what will happen to you when you die? Well, first of all, we want to deal with what is death. What is death? Now, the questions that we're asking, we will be answering the question or the questions from the standpoint of the authority of the Holy Scriptures. My opinion doesn't matter. How I feel doesn't matter about the issue when it comes to God's perspective. And so what we're going to do, we're going to answer the question from the standpoint of the Word of God, which is God's perspective through the writing of the holy apostles and prophets. And so many people have different views. If you ask an atheist, he'll give you a view of what happened when you die. Maybe nothing. That's just it for you. You're gone. There's nothing else beyond that because he's an atheist. Okay? Agnostics, they say, well, I don't know what happened. You know, I don't know if there's a God. I don't know if there's a heaven, a hell, or wherever, purgatory, or whatever kind of place there is. I don't know if we float around or we become angels. So different religious organizations or what have you may have different perspectives. But what I want to know is what does God say? Because, see, no matter what I feel, and no matter what my opinion is, God is always right. God's word is true and faithful. So his word doesn't change to suit me or my feelings. And so I may not always see eye to eye with God, but no matter what, God is always right. Okay? So, but let me just kind of backtrack a little bit. For the last couple of weeks, we have been dealing with how to handle temptation. So we dealt with the temptation issue, dealing with temptation and what it is and how to deal with it. If you want to listen to the teachings on the two-part series on how to deal with temptation, you can go back into the archives and listen to that, okay? The question that we're asking today is what will happen to you when you die? We dealt with a similar topic, and that topic was heaven, what is it, where is it, and who is going? Heaven, what is it, where is it, and who is going? The other side of that coin we dealt with is hell, what is it, where is it, and who is going? Now, keep in mind, I don't determine who's going to heaven or hell. So I don't determine that. That's not determined by me. That's not decided by me at all, okay? So that would be decided by God. Well, God has revealed in his word who he will let and who he will not let in his kingdom. If we refer to the kingdom in terms of heaven, then, you know, God has certain restrictions of what he will and what he will not allow. We see that clearly in the word of God. So, again, my opinion doesn't matter. It's what God has said. So we're going to deal with what is death. What is death? Okay? So what will happen to me when I die? What will happen to you when you die? Well, death is happening every day. As you yourself continue to live, one day you will experience what is called death, known as physical death. Your body will die. There will no longer be any life in your physical body. Your body is lifeless. Your organs die, dissipate. Once eat your body, it goes back to the dust of the ground. According to the scripture, this will happen. Okay, so now, death is all over the world. But it's something about the belief of life after death that's common even in occult and cults. Those who are often involved in cults and occults, people of different religions and faith and people in different parts of the world, they believe in what is called a life beyond physical death. And so the Bible does talk about that, and we'll deal with that, okay? But what will happen to you when you die? Okay, well, we're going to go to one verse of Scripture, and that would be the book of Hebrews chapter 9. We're going to go to the book of Hebrews chapter 9 first. We're going to deal with what is death? The Bible speaks of several kinds of death. But let's deal with this particular text first. So, in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, the writer of Hebrews states in this document, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Okay? So, it's appointed unto men once to die. So, as sure as you are listening to me or tuned into the program, you are going, at some point in time, going to die. Now, We don't know when we're going to die. I don't know when I'm going to die or how I'm going to die. You know, most folk don't know. We don't know the day or the hour. However, our days are numbered. God knows the exact date and time we're going to die. He knows where we're going to die at, how we're going to die. We just don't know. That's a mystery to us, you know. So we don't know. But the point is, we do know we're going to die. So every day you're getting closer and closer to the day that your body will die, physical death, okay? But so now we see in the book of Hebrews, chapter 9, the writer of Hebrews says, it's appointed unto man once to die. So that includes you. We have some of the greatest Old Testament men of God, prophets, priests, kings. They all died. So there's no way for you to escape physical death. You know, I'm very healthy. I eat good every day. I eat as healthy as I can. One thing I cannot do, I cannot stop the death process. But what I can do is slow it down, but I'm going to die. Okay? Now, so we read that text over in the book of Hebrews chapter 9. Now, let me show you something else. Let me take you over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, this is the writings of Paul. Paul was an apostle, a special messenger with revelation from God to write to a body of believers in the city called Corinth. Paul had already preached to the Corinthians the gospel of Christ. They came to faith in the gospel message. And so now it's an assembly of a body of believers called the church, the called assembly of believers, who have gathered together for fellowship that he's writing to. And so he says this in 2 Corinthians 4, in verse 16, he says, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." So it says, our outward man perish, yet the inward man. Notice the terms, outward man and inward man. Outward man, that's referring to the physical anatomy, the physical you, that physical part of you, that part of you that ages. As you continue to live, you begin to what is called age, okay? The outward man perish. So the outward man is perishing. It's coming to the point of dying. It's going to perish, all right? He says, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Wow, what is this inward man, okay? So the inward man lives inside of the outward man. What is that inward man he's talking about, okay? Now, with that said, let me do this. Let me take you to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Now, remember, the final authority is the word of God to us. So I'm not going to answer the question based upon my feelings and my moods or my opinions. I'm going to let the word of God be the final authority because it is. If God knows all things, he does. There's not anything he does not know and nothing he has to discover. If God is omnipotent, all-powerful, and he is, and if God is omnipresent everywhere at one and the same time, and he is, if God is all-wise, then I think it's good that I listen to him. I would take sides with him, okay? And so whether I understand it or not, whether I see it or not, I agree with God. So I'm going to give you not my personal opinion, but I'm going to give you God's perspective based upon authority and the revelation of Scripture, because that's what matters. What does the Scripture say? Now, so in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, Paul says, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly." And I pray, pardon me, "and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now notice that Paul says spirit and soul and body. Now keep in mind the question, what will happen to you, what will happen to me when you die? Okay, well, there are some things to take in consideration, because see, I don't know what's going to happen to you when you die. Now it can be dependent upon certain things and decisions and choices you make before you leave, before you die. will determine where you will ultimately end up at from a biblical perspective. Okay? So what will happen? Where will I go? Well, we saw in Hebrews chapter 9 that it's appointed unto men once to die after the judgment. So there's a coming judgment. So after one died, there is a coming day of an accountability where you're going to stand before God and give an account. We see that. But after you give an account to God, then what is going to be determined? What's going to happen with you? Where will you go? All right? So, again, we want to answer the question from the standpoint of the Word of God. Now, Paul says over here, and again, Thessalonians, he says, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless." Spirit, soul, and body. Now, he says spirit, soul, and body. So man consists of three parts: spirit, soul, body. Your body is not all there is to you. Your body is the outward man. Your body houses your spirit and your soul. Your spirit and soul lives on the inside of your body. So if Paul says your whole spirit and soul and body, then the body is the physical part. That's the outward man. That is the home of your spirit and soul. Okay? Now, for an example, let me show you something. This is pretty heavy. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Now, Paul says, "For we know that if our earthly tabernacle of this, if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." Wait a minute. Notice he says, "For we know that if our earthly house," the house is not me, but I live inside the house. "If our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God and a house not made with hands, eternal in the heaven." So we have an earthly house. He says we have another building of God, another house. It's eternal. The one we have now is mortal. It's subject to physical death. So mortal means that which is subject to physical death, that which is destined to die or perish. He says, "For in this," that's in this earthly house or this tabernacle, "we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven." So you have a house now called the earthly house. That's the physical body in which your spirit and soul lives in. So it says the earthly house that we now live in one day is going to dissolve, is going to perish in death, is what he's saying. "For in this we groan," so in this physical body now, in the state we are in now, we groan in this body. "But we earnestly desire to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven." Well, because there's a great hope for the believer in Christ Jesus. So what will happen to you when you die? Well, who are you in relationship to Christ? Who are you in relationship to God? So to determine what will happen to you, then we're going to have to look at where you are in relationship to God based upon authority and the revelation of the Holy Scriptures. Again, I'm not answering this question according to religion, denomination, church, mosque, temple, or what have you, all right? I'm answering it, or I'm giving the biblical answer, or letting the Word of God be the final authority, because it is the final authority. I am not the final authority. And so we're looking at what the Word says. So it says, verse 2, "For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven." Verse 3, if so, that being clothed, we should not be found naked. What he's saying, if being clothed with our new house, we won't be found without a house. We will not be found homeless or without a body. We will not be a disembodied spirit. So then he says, verse 4, "For we that are in this tabernacle," we that are in. See, you are in a tabernacle. You are in a physical body. Your physical body is not you, but you live on side of the physical body. All right? "For we that are in this tabernacle do groan." He's referring the tabernacle to the physical anatomy, your physical body. He says, "For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed up on that mortality might be swallowed up of life. What he's saying? What he is saying is that in this tabernacle that we are currently in right now, we groan in this. We have pains, all right? We have ailments, infirmities, and weaknesses in this body here. We're aged and so on. We groan in this body. But we have a burden what to be clothed upon with a new body, because there's coming a time that we're going to be clothed upon with a new body where the mortal state that we are currently in is going to be swallowed up of a new glorified body. Now watch this. Look at verse, kind of get ahead of myself here, but we'll get back to this. I'll just read it, but we'll get back to this. Verse 6, therefore we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. Okay, I'm going to stop right there. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. While we are at what home? Where? In the body. So I'm right now, I'm at home in my body. All right, so my spirit and soul, remember, we all read to you first, Thessalonians 5, verse 23, Paul says, your spirit, soul, and body. The spirit, soul, is the inward man. That's the immaterial part of you that lives beyond the physical death of your physical body. All right? So the body is not you. Yes, it's you that you live in. So to live on this earth and to have contact with other human persons, you have to have a physical body to have relationship with people. Okay? So you live inside of the physical body. All right? So, now he says, while we are at home, he said, we're confident. He says, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. While we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. Okay, well, where is the Lord? Okay, well, we see very clearly that when Jesus Christ was nailed to a cross, on the cross, ultimately, he died. All his blood was shed from his body. He was buried, taken down and buried by Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus. 3 days later, Jesus Christ rises from the dead. He had a resurrected, glorified body. And for a period of 40 days, he appeared to so many people, giving evidences, demonstrable evidences of his resurrection. Ultimately, he ascends back up to heaven in that glorified body. Jesus Christ right now, currently, is in a resurrected body in heaven. That's where he is. So we are not there physically where he is. He's there in a physical, resurrected, glorified body. Because you have to remember that even after Jesus Christ rose from the dead, he had told his disciples, he says, handle me and see. A spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see me have. Thus, he showed them his hands and feet. Why? He still bore the marks of the crucifixion in his resurrected, glorified body. And so he's showing them the same body that was crucified and that was buried, the same body that rose from the dead, is just a resurrected, glorified body that's no longer subject to physical death now. But he still bore the marks in that body of crucifixion. And so he tells Thomas, put your finger in my nail prints and see that his eye. Thrust your hand in my side. Why? His side was pierced. His hands was pierced. All right? So in that same pierced body, he ascended up to heaven in that body. He is there. I am not there where he is. I'm absent from where he is. And so while I'm at home here in my body, I am absent from the Lord. Okay? I'm absent from the Lord. You are absent from the Lord. If you are listening to me, you are absent from the Lord. So now while we are at home, so as long as I'm right here on this earth in my physical body, absent from the Lord. Now, with that said, it shows you that he's, now in the context he responds to believers, those who have come to hear the true gospel message of Jesus Christ and to come to a genuine, authentic faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not talking about faith in the church, faith in a bishop, a pope, or evangelist, or some type of religious affiliation. I'm talking about you hear the true gospel of Jesus Christ. Come under the conviction of the Holy Spirit of your need of Jesus Christ, and you come to faith in Christ. Well, Paul is saying that while you're at home in the body, you're asking from the Lord. But then he says in verse 8, he says, we are confident, I say, in willing rather to be absent from the body and present with the Lord. So right now I'm absent from where he is. But from the standpoint of the word of God, for a believer, one who has been joined to Christ by the Spirit because of genuine faith in Christ, coming to rest your faith on Jesus Christ, the Son of God, what he done for you on the rugged cross, and then confess him and believe in your heart on him as your Lord and Savior, you are joined to him in spirit. Now, for you to experience physical death, for your spirit and soul to depart from your physical body, and for you to be present with the Lord, right now, while you are at home in your body, believer, you are absent from the Lord. He's there in a resurrected, glorified body. But right now, you are right here on this earth in your physical body where your spirit and soul lives at. Your body houses the spirit soul. You are absent from where the Lord is physically. He's there in heaven physically. You're here on earth physically. Okay? So that's what it means when he says, while we're at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord. He says, we are confident, I say, and willing, rather, to be absent from the body and present with the Lord. So when he says absent from the body, he's referring to your physical body. Well, what part of you that could be absent from the body and present with the Lord? That's your spirit and soul. All right? So what will happen to you when you die? Well, if according to the scripture, if you come to repentance and you've been forgiven of all your sins and washed in the blood of Jesus Christ and clothed in the righteousness of Christ, having been joined to Christ by the Spirit, man, you are a citizen of heaven. For you to experience physical death is for you to be present with the Lord. So that's where you would be at with the Lord. Now, let me stop there. I did get ahead of myself because I want to break down what is death, and I'll back up and do that. But let me take you over to the book of Revelation real quickly, and I want to take you to chapter 6, all right? In Revelation chapter 6, and we'll just read verses 9 through 11. And it's dealing with Christ. There were seven seals, and he opened each seal. And each seal he opened up, there was a succession of things that occurred immediately after him opening these seals. And so we get over in the revelation of Jesus Christ, chapter 6, verse 9 through 11. And when he, Christ, had opened the fifth seal, John says, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. Now, John says, he said, when Christ opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar. Now, when you read the text, you'll find out this altar is at the foot of the throne of God, which is in heaven. He said, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were what? Slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. They were slain. But he said, I saw their souls. That's the immaterial part of them. That's the inward man. The souls of them that were slain. They were slain. Their physical body was slain. But their souls, he said, was under an altar in heaven. In verse 10, he says, and they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, do you not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? Well, see, they were no longer on the earth. They themselves were not on the earth. They now are absent from the body, present with the Lord at an altar in heaven. And they're conscious. So they were absent from the body. They then was present with the Lord. Now, he says, they cried with a loud voice, saying, That shows you consciousness. They know who the Lord is. How long, O Lord? Holy and true. No, he's holy and he's true. He's true to the word. Do you not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them. And it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season until their fellow servants and also their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. Notice it says, white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season unto their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. They were killed, but yet their souls was in heaven. What was killed? Not their soul, but their physical body. Well, stay tuned in. I hear the music. We have a brief break, and we'll come back after the break. Stay tuned in to The Final Authority.
I told you when the time comes for us to pray, we find other things to say instead of giving thanks for what God has already done. We're asking for more, but with a grateful heart we ought to pray, Lord, let your will be done. And if you never give me another thing, I'll just thank you for forgiving me. Of myself enough to say, Lord, I know that I'm in your perfect will. I want to be in your will, realizing as ungrateful as I've been, forgiving you has removed all sin. And I vow right now to never be the same. Present your body a living sacrifice, holy, which is your job. Unto God, it is your job to give him everything, every part of you. So I give him my heart, my mind, my soul, my praise, my money. It all belongs. Father,
you,
to you, I give you my heart,
Okay. Okay, all of the music is going. Technical difficulty. If you can hold on, there's a technical difficulty. They're trying to straighten out the music situation. We're trying to correct that now. They are. So. Okay, I can't tell. I'm not too sure if that's all straightened out now. It sounds very silent. And...
You're live. You're live on the air.
Okay. All right. Okay. All right. Okay. First of all, to my listeners, I want to apologize. They were having some serious technical difficulties, which they have now corrected it. Again, I want to thank you for remaining tuned in to KLJMradio.com, to the Final Authority. And I'll just continue on where I left off at. Again, we're dealing with the subject question, what will happen to you when you die? And this is something we all experience, from loved ones to friends. You know, they die. I had several people I knew that were my loved ones, blood relatives, friends, close ones, associates who have experienced death. And so it's something that is something that's not foreign to the human race. So... that will happen at some point in time. So let's get back in. I hear background. Uh-huh. I hear background.
Yeah. It was spinning. It's been spinning for like 10 minutes. He lost about 10 minutes.
Yes, I hear background in the
my
background.
Got up and I went over there.
Well, this is not good. I so apologize. Those who are at the technical booth, please remain silent. In Revelation chapter 6, verse 9 through 11, we're dealing with the fact that the souls of them were at the altar in heaven. They were slain. They were put to death. The word slain means put to death. And but yet and still, their souls were in heaven. So they were absent from the body, present with the Lord. And so we see that. And so we see that text there. Now, what I want to do is talk about what death is. Death means separation from. Death means separation from. For an example, the brother of our Lord Jesus Christ, I believe, James. Yes. James makes a statement that is very clear in the book named after his own name. As we read in James chapter 2, he says in verse 26, the body without the spirit is dead. The body without the spirit is dead. And so if your spirit separates from your body dies. Okay? So what happens when you die? Well, if your spirit separates from your body and the spirit remains outside of the body dies. The spirit ultimately goes somewhere. Where will that spirit and soul go? All right? Again, we look to the final authority for the answer to the question. Okay? Some people believe that whenever you die, you go to some bright light. Okay, all right. Some folks believe that you go into a state of becoming an angel. You get angel wings, whatever that means. I don't know where people get that from. Some people believe that in reincarnation that you die and you come back maybe in some form of some other form. And you might come back as a dog, a cat, or I don't know, a rat, a spider, a snake, a duck, a bat, a rat. I don't know. But, you know, I don't know where that comes from. But anyway, the Bible says it's appointed to man once to die after this is judgment. Not reincarnation, not coming back in some other form of judgment. It's a day of accountability. We will all stand before God to give an account. But what will happen when you die? Where will you go when you die? All right, so we have no biblical basis to believe. The Bible does not substantiate floating around and hoovering over the earth and coming back to visit your loved ones in some spirit form. No, that's not biblical either, and the Bible doesn't substantiate that. That would be a familiar spirit impersonating a person who have died to appear to one who yet lives. So that's called a familiar spirit. You have people who have said, oh, my mama came to me, or my daddy came to me, or my child came to me, or my friend came to me and talked to me and comforted me, and they told me things that no one else could have known. Your loved one, once they die and they are dead and their spirit and soul have left their body, that's not them coming back to you, talking to you, telling you anything. They can't appear to you. You have what is called familiar spirits. They're familiar with you. They are impersonating a loved one who have died to appear to you. Why? Because that spirit is deceiving you with an agenda for you to embrace that spirit. And so some people who have come to what's called near-death experiences, suppose they go into some type of light. Oh, we get to go into some type of light. Well, if you don't come to biblical repentance and come to the true light, Jesus Christ, you ain't going to no light, not no true light, not from a biblical perspective. Now, again, keep in mind, I'm giving you the biblical perspective. So I'm not interested in arguing with anyone. I'm giving you the biblical perspective based upon the final authority. God's word is God's final authority. And so people have their views, their feelings and their emotions, that's fine. But I'm going to stick to the authority of God's word because his word is faithful and true and it doesn't change. So I'm going to stick to the word. So, again, death is separation. Give you an example. God said, let the earth bring forth grass. And the earth brought forth grass. And when you take grass and you separate the grass from the earth, what happens to the grass? It dies. Why? It became separated from that which it gets life from, okay? Fish, You take a fish out of the water. God said, let the water bring forth the abundant living creatures. When you take fish and you keep the fish out of the water, what happens? It dies. Right. It became separated from. And you see, when it came to man, God said, let us make man in our image. So man is now directly connected to God. And now we have the first occurrence of death recorded in the book of Genesis, where we have God who has spoke to Adam, told Adam, you may freely eat of all the trees of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat of it, for on the day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die. All right, now, up until this point, there's nothing to indicate that Adam really fully understood what death is, because prior to Adam, there was no death. So whatever death is, at the time Adam got the word from God, he probably thought, well, whatever that is, it sure don't sound good. I don't want that. So God said, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat of it, for in the day you eat thereof, you shall surely die. There's going to be a separation, death. And so just like, for an example, prior to Adam eating of any of the trees of the garden, he had no idea what it would taste like. He didn't know. I guarantee you, when he had that first bite into whatever fruit he ate before he partook of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, he thought, damn, this is some good fruit, man. This is good. Well, he had no idea what it was until he tasted it. Well, again, even death, when God said, you shall surely die, he had no idea what death was. I assume that. Because there's nothing to indicate, because if Adam was the first person, the first human person God created, then after that was Eve, they had no idea what death is. Because even when the serpent on the in the garden spoke to Eve, and the serpent said to Eve, did not God say, you shall not eat of the trees of the garden? She said, no, God didn't say that. He said, we can freely eat of the trees of the garden. But the tree that's in the midst of the garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, he said, we shall not eat of it, neither shall we touch it, lest you die. The serpent said, you shall not surely die. So the serpent directly lied to God. There's not going to be no death, no separation. So, again, Adam ate of the tree. Well, Eve ate of it. Then Adam ate of it. And they hid themselves, and they became what we call spiritually dead. All right? So, now there's physical death. We talk about that. Physical death is separation of your spirit from your body. Okay? For as the body without the spirit is dead, because the spirit departed from the body. All right? Then there's what we call spiritual death. That is when you are alienated from God. You're spiritually alienated or separated from God. So sin resulted in spiritual death, which then ultimately became physical death. So physical death is the fruit of what? Spiritual death. Had not Adam disobeyed God, resulted in sin against God, then it brought forth death, and then spiritual death ultimately led to physical death. Had there been no sin and no spiritual death, there would have been no physical death. So physical death is a fruit of spiritual death, which is a result of sin, okay? Now, so when you look at the scriptures, we see very clearly that there is a spiritual death. For an example, in the book of Ephesians chapter 2, it says, and you hath he made alive who were dead, passes and sin. All right? So you were alienated from God. He says you were dead. You were separated from God, separated. So we believe we use the term spiritual death. Now, the Bible doesn't use the exact terms or wording spiritual death, but spiritual death defined as alienation from God, that would be a concept or appropriate words that can be used that would be consistent with the concept of biblical teaching. So he says, and you have he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. He made you alive. You have been made alive. Well, if he made alive, then who were dead, you were dead, but you no longer are dead. That means there has to be, we believe that was a spiritual death. Then we have, like, for an example, Christ, the Messiah, the very divine, unique Son of the living God, when he was here on earth doing his earthly ministry, as recorded in St. John chapter 5, verse 24, these are his words. He says, verily, verily, I say unto you. The word verily, verily is an old English term that we don't use, but it means I solemnly tell you the truth. Truly, truly, this is so true. Truly, truly, I say unto you, he that hears my word and believes on him that sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. You pass from death unto life. So if you have passed from death unto life, and that is present tense right now, I'm alive unto God. At one point in time, I was as well as dead, spiritually alienated from God. So he says, you have everlasting life, which means prior to you having everlasting life, you was dead spiritually. All right? Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that hears my word and believes on him that sent me has everlasting life and shall not come unto judgment, but is passed, what, from or out of death into life. This is the hour is coming, and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. So when Jesus said the hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, he's speaking to a multitude of Jewish men that were dead spiritually. And if they hear the voice, they recognize that this is the voice and the teachings of not a prophet, just a prophet or just a teacher. This are the words and the voice of the Son of God. Jesus said they would have life. He said the hour is coming in which the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. We're talking about them hearing the voice of the Son of God. They would hear his voice, but they rejected him as the Son of God and said, oh, he's just a rabbi teacher. Then they're rejecting him being the Son of God as being sent by the Father to come into the world, to be their Messiah, and to save them from their sins. Because remember what the angel said, that at the birth of the Messiah, prior to the Messiah being born, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. That's what he came to do. And so, again, so we look at the text in St. John chapter 5, verse 24 and 25. It seems to communicate that there is a death that one who is physically alive can come out of the spiritual death and come into a spiritual life and live unto God, have a union in relationship with God by virtue of a genuine faith in Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God. Okay? So death. But now, when the question is asked, what will happen to you when you die? Again, that's predicated, that question is predicated upon the fact that the assumption is that you take the position and lean to the fact that there is life after death and there's some place where you will go. All right? You will go to, from a biblical standpoint, either one or two places. Either you will ultimately be with the Lord in a place called heaven, or you'll be in a place called Hades, which ultimately there's another place after that. I won't deal with that right now because I don't have time to. Hades, and ultimately the lake of fire, which is eternal damnation and separation from God. We'll talk about that. But for more detail on that one, you might want to look in the archives and look up the subject, hell, what is it, where is it, and who is going. Okay? So your eternal destiny is really determined by the decision that you make now in this life before you leave. So you determine where you're going to go, all right? And ultimately we see that if you accept God's offer of salvation through faith in Christ, God, who gives you the opportunity and chance upon chance to come to biblical repentance and faith in what his Son done for you on the cross so you can experience what is called salvation, be saved from eternal damnation, then you will be with the Lord. But to reject God's offer of salvation and to die in your sins, having rejected the only way in which you can be eternally saved, is that you're only now accepting eternal damnation, the judgment of damnation. So what will happen to you? I don't determine that. You determine where you will go now. You will make that decision after you leave from here. So that decision is determined now. Okay? So now, again, if you have any questions, you can get a chance to call in or ask any question or what have you. You might want to send me an email to ask a question. I will reply to that. And my email address is Ambassador E-R, Ambassador E-R, AmbassadorER at yahoo.com. Okay? So you can text me and then text me. You can email me and I will respond to your email address. Okay? Now, again, if you want to go back and look up previous teachings, you can do that. In the archive, just go on the final authority, and you can scroll down and look at all the previous messages that we have taught on, okay? Remember that we air live every Monday from 6 to 7 Pacific Standard Time, unless otherwise indicated. Feel free to call anytime because we're here to minister the Word of God to you, which we believe to be the final authority, okay? Now, so what we're going to do, again, I apologize about the mishap of the technical difficulty, but glad they got that together. So what we're going to do is, on next week, we're going to do part two, what will happen to you when you die, okay? So death is something that we don't like to see because it is ugly, but there's coming a day in which God's going to wipe away all tears from our eyes. There will be no more pain, no more death, no more sorrow. None of that. God's going to wipe away all the former things, will be all passed away. So right now, up until God wipes all that away, and until there's a new heaven and a new earth, we will experience the pain and suffering of death, alienation, and separation by physical death. Okay? But remember, the only way out is through Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And if you believe in your heart on the Lord Jesus Christ, confess him as your Lord, believing that he died for you, shed his blood, and was raised from the dead, the Bible says you shall be saved. I'm not saved because I'm the preacher or the pastor. I'm not saved because I read my Bible or because I pray. I'm saved because in my heart and in my soul, I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And so physical death, I don't fear physical death. Now, I don't want to have to die, but if that's the case, so be it. I'm gone. I'm out. Absent from the body, I'm present with the Lord. I'll be in a far better place. So everyone on this earth, once you die, you will go somewhere. And your eternal destination is based upon the decision you make now in this life in regard to the person, Jesus Christ, God's Son. Well, we're going to close out and let you go. Father, we thank you, we praise you, and we give you glory for the word. We thank you, Father God, for the final authority, the revelation of Scripture that you, through the writings of the apostles and prophets, have given to us to read and to have the insight as to what is beyond physical death. There's a resurrection for every believer and even every sinner. We will ultimately stand before you to give an account, and you will show why we have eternal life or why we don't have it. We thank you, Father, for your goodness and your grace. I'm asking you to grant to us continually the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. I give you glory as my God and Father and source and provider and giver of life in the holy majestic name of your Son, Jesus Christ, whom I love, Father. Amen. Amen. I love you, Father. Well, I want to say God bless my listeners, those who have tuned in. We will see you on next week. Until then, stick with the word of God, God's final authority, his word. And remember, Jesus Christ is Lord. See you next time. God bless.
Thank you for listening to Final Authority. We hope you enjoyed our program. Join us again next Monday, right here on the hot new QLJNRadio.com.